We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Airlines are being fined for their treatment of customers. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In the month of October, consumer complaints about airlines to the U.S. Department of Transportation were 310% higher than they were pre-pandemic. If you have flown lately, you know why. Flying can be a nightmare right now. And yesterday, the DOT announced millions of dollars in fines for airlines. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with the details. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So, which airlines are being fined and why?
Well, they were fined because of what the DOT calls extreme delays in refunding customers whose flights were canceled. Under U.S. law, airlines have to give passengers a refund for cancellations or significant changes to a flight. The DOT says six airlines were fined about $7 million. Frontier Airlines is the only U.S. carrier to be penalized. The Transportation Department says those six carriers have paid out $600 million in refunds.
Why is Frontier the only U.S. airline facing a penalty?
The DOT says Frontier changed how it defined a significant delay to make it harder for passengers to get a refund. A Frontier spokeswoman told the Associated Press it issued almost $100 million in goodwill refunds, including refunds to customers who weren't legally entitled to get their money back.
So will flying get any easier after all this? I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I can't promise that, Sabri. But the Transportation Department is at least trying to clarify and strengthen the rules. Airlines are now required to issue refunds within 7 business days if you paid by credit card. Otherwise, it's 20 days. And the DOT proposed new rules defining what qualifies as a significant change to a flight that would require a refund.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The producer price index that measures inflation at the wholesale level was up 0.2% in October, much better than expected. Markets were thrilled. NASDAQ futures in particular surged up nearly 3% right after the number came out. Drew Mattis is a managing director and chief market strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Good morning.
Good morning.
So markets, futures reacted really strongly to this producer price index data. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, what this report suggests is that the CPI report previously, or the consumer inflation report previously, was not a fluke. And that means that there's yet another piece of evidence that the Fed can look at that suggests that, you know, inflation has begun to peak and begun to come down.
Do you think that this means the Fed will slow down on its raising of interest rates?
I don't think we're quite there yet. However, you know, the evidence keeps mounting that, you know, maybe inflation has peaked and is set to come down. And maybe, you know, if they get another piece of evidence before that, it means that there'll be fewer rate hikes next year.
All right. Drew Mattis, Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work. while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The great temple to consumers, known as the mall, was in trouble well before the pandemic hit. And then the world's shoppers flocked online. But in Portland, Oregon, a shopping mall called Lloyd Center has found a lifeline by thinking small. Melanie Savchenko has more.
It's Saturday afternoon at Lloyd Center, and a pop-up art market is bustling inside a vacant storeroom. This mall was near foreclosure last year, and now it's renting to small businesses and shops.
I've heard from a lot of customers coming in and just saying, thanks, I hadn't been here in years, and this is a great excuse to come and check it out again.
That's Tony Rempel, who runs record store Music Plastique inside a former Spencer's. The mall has new leases with a gallery, a hand-printed clothing company, and a tattoo parlor. Jason Levian, who owns comic book store Floating World Comics, is hoping more will come.
You think about like what has always made Portland great, and it's like the small businesses, the local art community.
Levian relocated to Lloyd Center this summer for half the rent he was paying for a spot downtown. He also has a 2-year lease and access to the mall's security and PR team.
Empty stores in a mall is a deadly condition.
Mark A. Cohen is director of retail studies at Columbia Business School. He says the mall's decision to partner with local small businesses makes sense for the bottom line.
It's more an issue of survival at the moment.
Lloyd Center lost Nordstrom, Sears, and Macy's and was $110 million in debt at the end of 2021. That's when Urban Renaissance Group stepped in as a new managing partner. The company did not make itself available for an interview, but in a statement from last year said it will be listening to and engaging with existing tenants for future plans. Dane Overton live streams an internet radio station from inside Music Plastique.
They were just open to any idea, which was very cool and telling of their situation.
For big businesses like shopping malls, leasing low-rent space is often temporary because of high operating costs for investors. But for now, says Cohen,
at least they're keeping the lights on inside their property.
Lloyd Center also hosted a roller skating disco inside an old Marshalls, as well as film festival screenings. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Melanie Savchenko for Marketplace.
Amazon is reportedly planning to lay off around 10,000 corporate and technology workers starting this week. That'd be the biggest round of job cuts in the company's history, and it's just the latest in a growing list of layoff announcements from big tech. Being laid off is painful. It is difficult, but sometimes brings out the resilience in us. If you have a personal story from your career about layoffs that you'd like to share, you can submit your story to us online. You'll see a button to click near the top of our homepage, marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.